You are listening to the Qalam podcast series on the purification of the heart by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, as explained by myself, Mikhail Ahmed Smith. This short book movingly details the subtleties of inner purification through discussions on the ego, the nature of the body, the degrees of prayer, fasting, and charity, and the inner realities of the self. Islamic thought on purification of the heart is an ocean of knowledge. In our age of hyperconnectivity and information overload, I attempt to show how Islamic spirituality holds a place of primacy for social reform and rectification of our own actions. The goal is to learn how to connect ourselves to our Creator and how to recognize those things in our lives which are taking us off track. For more classes with myself and other instructors, check out Qalam Connect, Qalam Institute's newest program for online Islamic education and dialogue. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Qala Allahu ta'ala, alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not sufficient for his servant? In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ أَنْحَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَكُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ وَقَالَ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ النَّاسُ نِيَامٌ فِي إِذَا مَاتُوا أَيْقَظُوا أو كما قال علي رضي الله تعالى عنه. So today, alhamdulillah, is our second class of purification of the heart, in which we are going through a book written by Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi. And this is our second class, and today we're going to talk about continuing through the book. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he takes this verse, which I just recited to you, which alayhi sallahu bikafin abada, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is not Allah enough for my servant? Like, is Allah not enough for my servant? So here Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he makes a very important clarification, that we have all of these things that can bother us. We have all these things that can throw us out of our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have all these different things that can disconnect us from Allah and actually worry us and bother us. But our only place of refuge, our only way to protect ourselves is by turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, alayhi sallahu bikafin abada. Is Allah not enough? But the thing is, if you look at the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings one characteristic or attribute of the person, which is abdiya, which is servitude to Allah. And on the other side is the characteristic of kifaya. So these are two terms I want you to think about for a moment. There's kifaya, which means Allah is enough for you. Allah is enough. And abda. So Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he says something. He says, فَالْكِفَايَةُ تَامَ مَعَ الْعُبُودِيَةِ تَامَ. He says, like, if you really want Allah to be enough for you, then you have to have complete ubudiyah then. Like, it's a give and take relationship there. The moment you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for you, at that moment is the time that you get that complete kifaya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that complete protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tonight, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, as we continue, this verse is where he begins. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah is enough for our worries. Allah is enough for our problems. All the things we're going through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough to take care of those things. But the problem is that we're lacking in the ubudiyah part to it. We're lacking in our part of the relationship where we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after that, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he goes, look, Allah is enough. Allah will protect you. And the only way shaitan can come to you, the only way shaitan can disrupt your relationship is through three doors. Now we're going to talk about all three of those doors, inshallah ta'ala, if we have enough time. But basically, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he says there's only three ways which shaitan can get access to you, can disrupt your relationship, can disrupt your life, can disrupt who you are. There's only three doors. We're going to talk about those. Number one door is called ghafla, or heedlessness, to be unaware of Allah. We'll talk about that in detail. The second door is ghadab, or anger, or hatred. And the third door is shahwa, or desire. According to Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he goes, these are the only three ways that shaitan will get you off track. These are the only three ways that shaitan will pull you away. What is it? Number one, ghafla, ghadab, and shahwa. What is ghafla again? Heedlessness.
In order to understand this one, we should actually go back and look at one of the first stories that comes in the Quran. One of the first stories that comes in the Quran is the story of Iblis tricking Adam. And in that story, we find that Allah is telling Adam that be careful, don't touch this tree, and by the way, there's this being that's your enemy here. So be on guard. خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Be careful. And Allah actually says, أَلَمْ أَنْحَكُمَا. After it was done, did I not tell you not to eat it? Did I not tell you that this guy was your enemy? So in this verse, we find that he's being warned to be on guard, to be aware, to be careful, to be aware of what's going on. Now, Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, there's a narration that attributed to him. Ali radiallahu an, which he said, annasu niyam, people are sleeping. People are sleeping. When they die, idha matu ayqadu, when they die, they wake up. People are sleeping, and when they die, they wake up. This verse is very interesting, because what is the point of the Quran? What is the point of the Prophet ﷺ's coming? It's a really important question if we take it back. Like, what is the actual purpose of it? Reality, the purpose is really simple. To wake up mankind. That's it. To wake up mankind. Think about this. When the Prophet ﷺ came, he went to the top of this mountain. What did he do? Ya sabaha, ya sabaha, ya sabaha. All the people gathered together. Ya sabaha is a call when there's a threat. When there's something that's going to attack. Everyone comes, what's going down? What's going on? They all run to him. And he goes, if I tell you there's an army behind this mountain, what would you say? What would you do? They're like, we'd believe you. We'd get ready for war. We'd get ready to defend ourselves. We'd run off. We'd do what we have to do to prepare for that threat. So then he goes, okay, let me tell you the real threat, the real worry, the real problem is that, hey, life has a purpose. You're here for a reason, and you've been sleeping. You've been asleep. Now, it's funny because we live in an age where it's like stay woke is a movement. Stay woke is a movement right now. That's huge. Stay woke. What does it mean? Don't sleep. About what, though? About the social political issues of minorities, of the social political issues of women, of all of these different segments of society. Stay woke. Stay woke about different plots and all types of stuff people want to stay woke about. But if you look at what this Quran came to do, it really came to just wake us up to realities. But there's a problem. You know what the problem is? Ignorance is bliss. They're like, what? You called us here for this? Man, tabban lak, right? Forget this, man. Just go get back to our normal lives. Some people don't want to be woke. They don't want to realize that racism is a real instrument used of structural violence against a certain class of people. They don't want to be woke to that, because when you're woke, it necessitates action. So it's a lot easier to continue on my mundane life where I'm just doing what I gotta do than to actually realize that there's a real issue that deserves my attention. So in reality, this Quran is coming and it's like, stay woke. And then Ali radiallahu anhu is saying the same thing. He's like, yo, you're sleeping. And when you die, you wake up, you realize the reality, you realize the truth. Now, what is ghafla? Ghafla is that sleep, heedlessness. Ghafla, it's a form of that sleep. Now, if we all agree now that the Quran is coming to say to mankind, stay woke, the Prophet Allah said to Adam, stay woke, this dude is plotting on you. If that was the reason why it came, then what is it waking us up to? That's the next question. What is it waking us up to? There's two main topics in the Quran. That's it. Two main topics. I'm telling you, the whole Quran, two topics Allah is waking you up about. Number one, who you are. Number two, who Allah is. Reality of life. That's it. The Quran is a book about you and about Allah and the reality of who Allah is. It's waking you up to your own realities. Now, if you were to break this down into like a little like chart, I would say like ghafla has two breakdowns. Number one, people are heedless about their own selves. And we're going to talk about that in detail. Number two, people are heedless about Allah and the reality of life. Two areas. Now let's look at the first area. When we say stay woke about yourself, from the Quranic perspective. What we're saying is, number one, recognize your spiritual aspect of who you are. Recognize this ruh, that's inside of you. Recognize it's real. It has pains. It has joy. It has pleasure. It will be rewarded. It will be punished. Recognize there's a spiritual aspect to who you are. Now, the other part of the Quran about yourself is the cognitive wokeness. If I can just coin a term there. Cognitive wokeness, right? Yo, Muslims in America have to hatch out their own vocab, man. Trust me. We got to take terms back and make them use them the way we need them, man. Seriously. So cognitive wokeness, hashtag it for today's halakha. All right? The cognitive wokeness is about the cognitive biases that take place in the mind. And where does Allah talk about this? وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. A cognitive bias is something you don't even realize you're doing wrong. You don't even realize my mind is going that direction. It's a cognitive bias. That's what it is. But the way Allah coins that is, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. You're like, yo, I'm good. And you didn't realize these are they're clear cognitive biases that you are victim to. Now, what is the reality about you? What is the most woke state you can be at? All right? Few areas. Number one, your finiteness. That you're going to leave. That's heavy, though, if you really think about that. Like, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be gone in, like 40, 50. Like, maybe a little, maybe 60, right? But even then, I'm like, it's boring then, right? So, like, the real fun is, like, 20 more, 30 more. Karima, stay there. All right. Alhamdulillah. So your reality, right? Number two, your knowledge. Part of the Quran's job is to wake you up to how much you don't know. Like how little knowledge you have of many things, right? But this will all tie in later. It's very important. Number three, your weakness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha an-nas antumul fuqara wa ila Allah. Antumul fuqara. Like, really, if you think about it, like, Harun Rashid, it was a very interesting story. He had a courtier, his name was Bahlul, and Bahlul used to crack jokes for him and make him laugh. Because people who are sleeping, they love to be entertained. They don't want to be woke. So entertainment is a key part of the don't be woke. Sports and entertainment are huge in the Western paradigm to keep you from being woke. Huge. Huge. But we can't really digress too much into that. But it's very important to realize the role of sports, just hedonism, basic parts of hedonism, that sports and entertainment are key parts to keeping you asleep. But Bahlul was Harun Rashid's entertainment. And, you know, one day Harun Rashid, he had to go relieve himself. And he was getting up to go, and Bahlul said, where are you going? He's like, you know, he's close to him. So he's like, I'm going to, you know, relieve myself. He's like, hold on. So he held him there. He's like, what are you doing? I got to go. And he's like, no, wait a little bit. So he's close, has a good relationship with him. So he's like, all right. And it gets to the point where he's like, I got to go. I got to go right now. And he goes, Bahlul, this is his courtier. He's just a joker. He's like, how much would you give if you couldn't go right now? Would you give me half your kingdom? Would you give me half your kingdom to go right now? And that pressure, you know, you really got to go. You really got to go. Like, he's like, yo, I'd give it. I'd give it. And then on another occasion, when he was really thirsty, Bahlul stopped him. He's like, yo, I'm thirsty. Give me some water. He's like, he brings in the water. He reaches out. He doesn't give it to him. He's like, yo, I'm thirsty. He reaches out. No. He's like, how much would you give for this water if you had no more? Would you give half your kingdom? So after this, he's like, your whole kingdom is worth a glass of water, yo. Like, that's all you have. So my point, though, is what? Our weakness. This is very important to realize your limitations as a human being. So this is the side of being woke that Quran is telling you who you are. Like, I'll give you an example. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٍ مَذْكُورًا. What is Allah saying there? Was there not a time that you weren't even known? Fatima, Sara, Atifa. Like, there was a time no one even knew who you were. Like, Hadis. Like, you actually talk to your parents And they like laugh at you because like, I remember when you were nothing. Like, we didn't even know who you were. You weren't anything before. And here you are like arguing with me. Like, who? What are you? So it's funny, like we have little kids, right? And now they're getting like personalities. Instagram, that wasn't me. Instagram, that was my daughter. Like, so like now the kids are getting personalities. So it's like, who are you? Like, hala ta'ala al-insani hina min dahri lam yakun shay'an madhkura? Like, wasn't there a time, and you're arguing with me now, like, I want it. It's like, what are you? So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of that, like, think about your beginning, think about your end, and who are you? Another verse, alam takun nutfa. Like, weren't you just a drop of like, semen? Like, really think of that was your beginning. It's really humbling. Like, what was I? I was like nothing. And here I am, like, all arrogant and proud, and we're going to get into that in a minute. All right, so that's the cognitive wokeness of the self that the Quran is bringing to society. That know who you are. Now, Immanuel Kant brings a whole different paradigm. Immanuel Kant raises the self. He raises the self so high that the self becomes more important than anything. It's very important to understand where Immanuel Kant fits into the Western paradigm. Because Kant does the opposite. He makes the I everything. He makes the I everything. But the Islamic paradigm is completely different. The I is nothing. Did I ever share with you guys the ana? Ana, the word ana? Okay, listen, this is interesting. Herbert, how do you spell, Imam, how do you spell ana in Arabic? Like the words. Alif, noon, alif, right? How do you say it though? Say it.
Ana.
Now, is there an alif at the end? Yeah. Do you say the alif? Now, when you're teaching a kid, that's like the hardest thing for them to get. They're like, there's an alif there. You're like, no, just ignore it, right? Yeah. So you ever think about it in your mind, you're like, well, why is there an alif there? The beautiful thing is that according to like scholars of lugha, the self is never arrogated. So even though the word is written ana, when you say it, you say ana miskin, ana. You do tazghir of you. Do you understand? I don't know if you guys got that point. Yeah. Like the word is elongated, but you never, elongate yourself. You never arrogate yourself. That's the Islamic perspective. You say, ana, short, I'm nothing. I'm little. I'm not that important. Right? And we'll put this in balance soon. But the point is that Immanuel Kant's influence and others' influence was really, really raising the self that I am an island. I am everything. Like, and that's huge. That's important. Now, the second aspect of wokeness that the Quran came to bring to us was the reality of Allah and the purpose of life. Like, there's a true purpose for us being here. There's a reality to this world. Wake up to it. Wake up to, there's a reason you're here. Now, I'm going to go back to my original premise. People don't like these messages. We don't like them. We've get accustomed to it because ever since we were small, you heard the khatib saying, you know, kullu nafsin da'ikatul maut, right? Hitting you in the head with it. So you're like, all right, I got it. I'm going to die. I got it. Right? But in reality, we don't really like that message because it's a paradigm shifter. Purpose of life, why we're here. Regarding this, there's another problem. When we talk about wokeness, the mind can't focus on too many things at one time. I know many of us think we're multitaskers to the nth degree. There are studies that say you don't multitask, you just do two things really bad. Right? You don't multitask, you just do two things badly. All right? Wallahu alam, we could debate that after the halaqa. I don't know. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ غَافِلُونَ. What does that ayah mean? This ayah is basically saying you're woke to one aspect of life, but you're sleeping in another. So here's the thing. You can be woke about what's going on socio-politically and completely sleep about your reality. So when we use this concept of stay woke, first of all, you got to realize you can be woke when it comes to all of the socio-political issues and be completely sleeping on the concepts that the Quran is coming to bring to you. Khair, any questions? It's interesting, the Arab poetry, if you read old Arab poetry, they used to praise a person who sleeps lightly. Because sleep, if we look at this narration of Ali, sleep is this form of ghafla. You're not aware of what's going on when you're sleeping. And you know what's amazing about the Prophet ﷺ? One time the angels came to him, two angels came to him to give him a message, and he was sleeping. He was sleeping. So the angels are talking, and they're like, you know, your companion's sleeping right now. And the other angel's like, his eyes sleep, but his heart never sleeps. His heart is always woke. That's heavy. And they revealed something to him at that time. But they're like, sahibukum, no, his eyes sleep, but his heart is woke. That's heavy. That's pretty deep. So before we go on to the next thing, the opposite of ghafla is yaqdan. A state of complete wokeness. I'm going to give you an example from the Sahaba of what woke, true wokeness, quote unquote. All right, I just made the word up. So, just okay. True wokeness looks like. Hadith. Not Hadith. That's your name? Oh, sorry. You know, the Urdu Desi thing just made it a Hadith. It's with a seen? Yeah, so this is a different word. So Harith radiallahu an al-Ansari. One day the hadith is narrated in many books of hadith. One day the hadith says, Marra bi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Harith, kayfa asbahta? O Harith, how's your morning going? How's everything? So Harith radiallahu an, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, asbahtu mu'minan haqqa. He's like, yo, I woke up a true believer today. Right? Like who you're talking to. Like, think about who you're talking to right now. He's like, asbahtu mu'minan haqqa. I woke up a true believer today. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes, undur ma taqul. Watch out what you're saying, bro. Hold your tongue. Likulli haqqin haqiqa. There's a reality to every word. So you just said something. Watch out what you're saying. So then he goes, وَمَا حَقِيقَةُ قَوْلُكَ. Prove your statement. Listen to what he says. He says, أَلَسُ قَدَ عَزَفْتُ الدُّنْيَا عَنْ نَفْسِي وَذْمَعْتُ النَّهَارِ وَأَسْهَرْتُ اللَّيْلِ. He's like, Ya Rasulullah, I've given up the dunya. I fast all day. I stay up at night praying. And then he goes, look at the next statement. He goes, وَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ عَرْشِ رَبِّ الْبَارِزَ. He's like, you know what? I walk around, it's like I can see the arsh of Allah. This is heavy. This is heavy. But just imagine. He goes, وَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ يَتَزَاوَرُونَ فِيهَا. He's like, Ya Rasulullah, when I walk around, I can see the people of Jannah going to each other, visiting each other. What's going on, Haris? I'm coming to your place. Later on, Hadith, let's go here. I see the people of Jannah visiting each other, just chilling with each other. I see it. And then he goes, وَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. I can see the people of Jahannam screaming in agony. The Prophet ﷺ says, عَرَفْتَ فَلْزَمْ عَرَفْتَ فَلْزَمْ عَرَفْتَ فَلْزَمْ three times. He's like, you got it. Now just hold on. You got it. Hold on. You got it. Hold on. He's like, you've reached the state where you're walking around and those things that are ghaib, it's like you can really see them. Any issue, when you become woke to that issue, you see it in places. When you become really woke to racism as a structural violence against a class of people, you start to witness that thing. You see it. Around you, all around, when you really wake up to that thing. And when he became woke to the reality of this dunya, he's walking around like, I can see the people of Jannah, yo. I can see, wow. And the Prophet's like, yo, just hold it now. And that's the nature, to be honest with you. Don't expect to ever reach a state where you're always like at that level. It's never gonna happen. In fact, there was a time when Hanzala was walking around Medina, and he's like, right? Everyone knows that hadith. I'm a munafiq, I'm a munafiq. well-known hadith. And Abu Bakr is like, yo, what you saying? He's like, yo, when I'm with the Prophet, it's like I see Jannah. But when I go home and I'm with my wife and kids, I forget everything. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is like, yo, I'm a munafiq too. Because he's like, I'm at this state of yaqdan, but as soon as I go back home, I'm back out. So they both go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, explain what you're saying. He explains. He goes, ya hanzala sa'atan sa'a. He's like, take it easy. He's like, if you were to stay at that level all day, the angels would dap you up in the street. I don't know, dap, is that Texas? Y'all, like, okay, that's East Coast, my bad, yo. Okay, they would give you, you know, they would shake your hands, y'all. They would shake y'all hands. They would shake y'all's hands. Sorry, I had to crack a Texas joke. I had to, yo. I had to. I'm loving Texas, though, to be honest with you. Especially when you get the big guys come to your halakha, yo. It's like, yo, for real. Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, so here's the thing about ghafla. I'm going to make it really simple. We'll move on to the next thing. If there was a sale at Ross or Dillard's, like, nah, I got them. I got them, right? How does it, like, what's Dillard's? If there was a sale, like, you know, 50% off everything.
At Dillard's, it'd be free then.
It'd be free? Okay, give me a better store, man. Yo, I shop that level, all right? I don't know about y'all.
H&M?
All right, so like, you know, 40% off H&M, two-hour sale, right? This ain't working. The point is, let's get to the point. The point is, the problem, Qiyamah, one of the names of Qiyamah is Yawm al-Hasra, the day of regret and remorse. And the reason is because when you realize those opportunities that you missed just because you were sleeping on the sale, you're like, yo, I missed out on 50%. I could have had this. I could have had this. I could have had this at half the price, but I missed it because I was sleeping. And like, and you know, back in the days when we used to speak to someone about missing an opportunity, you'd be like, yo, stop sleeping. Stop sleeping. That's the way you say it. Like, yo, don't sleep. Don't sleep. The point is, like, we have to realize that what it means to be woke is that you realize the opportunity I have in this world. I'm going to use it because I'm not getting it back. So that's the objective here. I'm going to move on. I know there may be some questions. We're going to save them in the end. There's one more thing I want to talk about, inshallah. Maybe two more, inshallah. Time is not. It's going good. The next door that Ibn Qayyim explained, what was the second one I explained to you? The first one was ghafla. Second one was? Ghadab, anger. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. I always encourage young Muslims to get in touch with their the heritage of Islamic scholarship. There's an imam, his name is Imam Mawardi. Mawardi. He wrote a book called Adab al-Din wa Dunya. Beautiful book. In that book, he explains two qualities. Ghadab and huzn. Ghadab is anger. Huzn is grief. So listen to this, how he explains them. Psychologically, how he explains these. This Imam Mawardi, he goes, in reality, what is ghadab? Ghadab is hujumu ma tukrahu nafs mimman dunaha. It's an attack. It's an attack from within. It's an attack on the self of the things from the self that it dislikes. I'll say it again. Anger is the result of attack on the self from the things that the self doesn't like, but they're dunahu. Dunahu, lower than him. They're lower. So something you don't like attacking you, but it's lower than you. He says the result of that is ghadab. But then he says, now what is huzn? Now this is deep. Follow the logic. What is huzn? Grief. He says, grief is hujum, same thing. Hujum ma tukrahu nafs, the attacking of the things that the nafs doesn't like from things above it. So the amazing thing is that for him, huzn or grief is a type of depression on the soul. Hence the term, I'm depressed. Things you don't like, but they're above you, out of your control. Fawqak. So they depress down on you. But ghadab is different. Ghadab is something you don't like. Hujum, it attacks you. Why is this happening? But the thing is lower than you. So now he explains it as not a depression, but an expansion of the self inside of you. Your soul becomes enraged and wants to express itself. It wants to arrogate itself out onto something. Yes?
When you say like it's lower than you.
It's something you have power on. Okay. Yep. It has something you have power over. So anger is the thing you have power over, but it's something you don't like is coming from it. Now, what does the self do? The self now wants to expand itself, and what does it do? It oppresses. The other one was a depression on the self. The anger, when it's allowed to explode out, causes oppression on something else. Very interesting. So here's the issue. There's three levels of anger from the Islamic perspective. There's ifrat, which means excessive anger or not acceptable excessive anger. There's tafrit, too little anger, and i'tidal, middle anger. And I'll explain both of them. The ifrat is when the anger forces you outside the bounds of aql and deen. That's it. When the anger forces the person to exceed, the example given was an siyasat al-aql. It forces you an siyasat al-aql wa deen. It pulls you out of the authority of the intellect and religion. Now the middle one, that's a very important one. That the anger, if it leaves the aql, if it goes beyond the limitations of the mind, this is not acceptable. If it goes beyond the limitations of deen as well. The other one was tafrit. It's when you have too little. You don't get angry when you should get angry. You're a pushover. You see someone being oppressed and you don't do anything about it. This is too little. The other one was moderation and a beautiful anger. This is like the Prophet ﷺ, whose aql, whose anger was all based on deen and intellect. Meaning, he didn't get angry for himself. He got angry for the sake of deen. Someone comes, yanks his collar. He smiles at him like, yo, what do you want? Literally. But something else happens against the deen. They're like, his face would flare with redness. And he'd be angry about that thing. So where do we... Because the thing is, Allah put these things in us, not that we shouldn't have them, but to actually learn how to control them. So this the good anger is the anger which is ruled over by the aql and by the deen. Imam Ghazali gives a better example. I'll give you a practical example. Imam Ghazali, he says, the example of that is like a hunter who has hunting dogs. Anger is one of those hunting dogs. Now the dog shouldn't just run off without the permission of the hunter. It should move at his request. Same way with the anger, right? Same way with the anger, that it's under the hunter. It's under the siyasa of the person. And this is found in another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man abghadha lillah wa a'ta lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istaqbala iman." Whoever loves for the sake of Allah and hates for the sake of Allah. This person has perfect deen. This person has perfect deen. Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. And I think you'll appreciate the nuance of this perspective. The problem with anger and hatred is that if we look at the story of Adam, which we began with, we see that Shaitan, we all know he wasn't an atheist, but Shaitan was a mesotheist. A mesotheist, M-I-S-O-theist. A mesotheist. What's a mesotheist? Did you look at the live stream? Yes. Meso, hatred. Mesotheist. He hated God. Many of the Western main philosophers, they're not atheists. They believe in God, but they hate God. Read their writings. You'll see this. There's a hatred for who God actually is. Now, the interesting thing is, why would someone ever get to the point where they hate God? What's the problem? If you think of Iblis, you'll get it. Exactly. It's arrogance. How so? Egocentralism, and this I am an island of liberalism. forces us to project our understanding of reality, our understanding, on the things around us. Please stick with me just for a moment. Where does the arrogance come from? The arrogance is where I project what I hold to be what it should be onto the reality. Let's go to Shaitan, for example. What was Shaitan's biggest qualm? What was his biggest issue? Lam akun li asjud li basharin. Someone you created from dirt, you created me from fire, I'm better than him. Now, is that the reality? It wasn't the reality, obviously. But to him, that was the reality. He projected that reality on the creation. This is where the arrogance is being shown. And this is where the hatred for God is coming from. When you feel that the whole creation should be accordance to how I think it is. Now, the interesting thing is, like, Imam Ghazali explains that the highest level of arrogance, it begins with regular people. Like, Herbert, why'd you do that? What did you do? You realize I was coming? Right there. Then it goes higher to authority or teachers. And then he says, Imam Ghazali said, it goes to prophets. Why did the Prophet say that? Why did he say that? He shouldn't have said that. According to who? You? Alam takun nutfa? Let's take it back. Weren't you just nothing before? هَلْ أَتَعَ لَلْإِنسَانِ حِنُّ مِنِ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٍ مَذْكُورًا. Literally, like, who are you? Like, with all jokes aside, like. And the funny thing is, in pre-modernity, like in modernity, aql, intellect, rationality, was given primacy. In post-modernity, it's all emotions. Like, I was talking to someone recently, and they're like, well, I feel that shouldn't be like that. I'm like, who cares how you feel? Like, all jokes aside, like, your feelings don't matter when it comes to right and wrong. Is it rationally right, objectively right, or is it objectively wrong? Whether you feel good about it or not has nothing to do with, in reality, it's right or wrong. So post-modernity has even stripped away the idea of what truth really is. So we're not going to go there. But the reason I brought that up is because we project that on society and on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here's the deal. Khidr is with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Khidr kills a boy. Cracks his neck. And what did Musa say? Like, why'd you kill him? He's like, you don't know what's going down. Chill out. Lay back. Yeah, Ustad Hamza Zortis, you know what he says is beautiful. We have the pixel, Allah has the picture. You have a pixel of knowledge. A pixel. Think about that for a moment. You have a pixel of knowledge. Allah has the picture. That's heavy if you really think about what that means. So this misotheism, this God hatred, is because you see suffering in the world, you see pain, you see hurricanes, you see all types of like horrible stuff, which in your mind doesn't make sense. How? Why? What's the point? You're like 60 years out of how much time in one little place. How small are you? How infinitely small are you compared to this universe? And you want to project your reality on God. And then hate God because you don't understand who his wisdom. As if you could ever understand it if he even told it to you. Ajib. It's really interesting. So this concept of misotheism is very important, and I really think it has a lot to do with us in its post-modernity. Muslims, we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says regarding taqdeer and the decree of Allah, man sakhita falahu sukht, wa man radhiya falahu radha. You know, Imam was reading a verse the other day in Isha, subhanAllah. Irji ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Like, beautiful verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about وَجِيَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. Jahannam is going to be brought before them this day. The person will say, يَا لَيْتِنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِي حَيَاتِي. He's sad because he was in ghafla. Like, he sees Jahannam and he's like, what was I doing my whole life? But then he says, يَا لَيْتِنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِي حَيَاتِي. I wish I put something forward for retirement. in our terms. قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. I wish I put something forward for my life. For my life, not from my life. Because the real life is coming now. You know what I'm saying? So then he goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. أَبَوْ أَحَدْ وَلَا يُثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدْ. يَا عَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ. Oh, you contented soul. Content with who? With Allah. Content. Like, Allah, this is what you want for me? Alhamdulillah. Allah, this is what I'm going through right now? Alhamdulillah. Like last week, we were talking about the spotter. Like when you're content, last week we were talking about working out. So if you were here last week, so your spotter is like for us this example of, you know, but like, you know, your spotter is helping you, looking out for your well-being. We went through that last week. Khair. But ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, O you contented soul, irji ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. Go back to Allah, radiya mardiya. You're pleased and He's pleased with you. The opposite of the misotheist. The misotheist is hating God, hates Him. And Allah says, you can hate me all you want, it doesn't do anything. Man sakhita falahu sukh, you can hate me all you want, it doesn't do anything to me. But man radiya falahu rida. The one who gains that rida of Allah, that happiness with Allah, irji ila rabbika radiyatan mardiya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. But the concept there is rida, that pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's it. That's the only part I want to touch about on this misotheism. You'll see this. I think you can really help people deal with tragedy, deal with hardship, when they understand that it's according to God's plan, and you're not going to understand that plan. That is why it's submission to Allah. That's the whole concept of submission to God. But the point is to realize that He loves you more than the most loving mother in the world. If you had that understanding, that He loves you more than anything, then you have no problem loving what Allah wants you to put you through. Because you realize it's for your betterment. So what we want to walk away from tonight with is this new connection to love Allah. Really, brothers and sisters, like I was talking to the class this morning, and I was like, yo, just learn how to talk to Allah. Like build your connection with Allah. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Islam has made many of us very ritualistic in our deen. It's formalities that we just go through. And we lose that real love that we should have for Allah. But that love is the only thing that will get you through really hard times. Because hard times, you're tested. The test is, will you realize that He loves you more than anything and He won't let you down? That's the test right there. And it only happens when you have that love and you realize He loves me more than anything. Even if I think this is the worst thing for me, it's the best thing for me. So, inshallah, we'll conclude with that. We're going to open the floor for questions. There's one more aspect. There's three doors, right? Three doors. The last door is desire, right? Desire. But I think we did enough for today, so we'll pick it up from here. So we covered ghafla, the purpose of being woke regarding the self and about Allah and the hereafter, and the harms of being, you know, sleep or in ghafla. And we talked about this concept of ghadab, and ghadab coming from arrogance, and that arrogance is that you project yourself on everything, that I am everything. It should be the way I understand it. And the solution to that is humility. Once you drop that humility bar, anger drops. Once you drop that humility, anger drops without a doubt. So how do we solve anger? That was one more thing I wanted to actually touch upon. How do we cure anger? Like, here's some i'lajis for ghadab. Some people have a problem with anger. Like, they get angry and they can't control themselves. So the Prophet ﷺ has given us some solutions. Let's talk about a few of those, inshallah. Number one, it may sound abstract, but I'm going to try to make it as practical as possible, is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering God. Now, let me explain what I mean by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only reason you're really angry at that person is you feel you have a means, qudra, power, to express that anger. If, you know, my teacher gave the example, like, if, you know, someone bumps into you from behind, you get really angry, it hurts you, you turn around, it's some big, you know, ripped dude, you, all of a sudden your anger kind of subsides a bit. It still hurts, but your anger subsides. Because your aqal, intellect, now kicks in and says, hey, If I try to express my anger, I'm going to be more hurt. So your aql, now this is heavy though. This is interesting. So was your anger really something uncontrollable? Because some external factor just like cooled you down really quick. Like Texas too, you guys got guns. Like this is crazy, man. Like Texas is just a neutralizer. Like you're angry? Huh? Like, nah, not no more, man. Yo, we cool, man. We cool. It's all good. Just don't do it again, man, please. You know? So that gun is like a neutralizer. Because you're like, anger gone instantaneously. What happened to all that uncontrollable, I can't control myself? You can control yourself when you realize that there's power in front of you. It's just you realize you think your wife or your sister or your daughter or your little brother, you can release that anger on them. So you allow yourself to get angry. When you remember God, right, remember Allah, which is remember he has more power over you than you have over this person. That's the key. When we say remember God, you're remembering that God has more power over you than you have over this person. The next thing is the Prophet ﷺ said, change your position. So the idea is like if you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting down, lay down. But the point is to, and if you're walking, stop walking. If you're running, stop. Like the point is to change your position. Change the condition. Physiologically change yourself. That's important. Right? Physiology. So the physiology is important. Like, subhanAllah, like, it's amazing. Like, there's so many things we see about the Prophet ﷺ where if you actually change your physical state, it'll also have a psychological effect on you as well. Right? So, like, if you're sad and you smile, you can't help but actually feel happier. And, we have people that are, like, well more skilled than me in that area. But it's one of the areas that I really like about the physiological effect on the psychology of different actions you do with your body. So the Prophet ﷺ said, change your state. Sit down. Lay down. Like, move your state somewhere where you're not moving more. Another thing is, one of the scholars said, think about how you look when you're angry. Like, the way you look when you're angry is pretty sad. You look really bad. Like, you look funny. Right? And if you actually were to look at yourself, like people look at videos after, they're like, that wasn't me, yo. No, that wasn't me. No way. Right? Some of us look good on camera. Some of us, we don't like to look at ourselves on camera, right? So it happened. Okay, so the next thing is to think of the outcome of the anger. Think of the outcome of the anger. This is important. But the main thing is stopping to think. It's not easy to do these things, but remind the person of the outcome of the anger. Like, what will be the outcome? It's going to be worse than what it is right now. And another thing scholars said is think about the reward of hilm. Hilm is forbearance. Think about that reward. If I hold it, what is Allah giving me in reward of that? The main thing I would say, though, you know all of these things? The main problem is people's arrogance. That's the root problem. That's the root problem. Stop thinking yourself greater than everyone else, greater than everything, that your way should be projected on everything. Inculcate that humbleness inside of you, and you'll see that anger subside substantially. All right? And if you arrogate yourself, you end up to the point where you're like Fir'aun when you say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. That's Pharaoh's complete, that's the highest level of arrogance. That he's like, I'm the highest God. All right? Khair, inshallah. So we'll stop there.